Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
America's largest all-sports radio station presents the number one motorsports show for over two decades, Track Talk, brought to you by Rod In Supply and the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. Here are the racing boys, Scott Traylor and Kirk Elliott.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Track Talk here on Sports Radio 810 WHB and RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. Covell back at Sports Radio 810 running the show for us. Todd Surprise taking care of us here at RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. My partner, Kirk Elliott. It's been a long time, Kirk. We've got a really good show lined up today. Casey Schumann's going to be joining us from I-70 Speedway. Ralph Palmer's going to be joining us. We're also going to play an interview that we did with Ayrton Jennington and Chet Krishner and Bob Baker as well. So we've got a loaded show today, don't we, Kirk?
And those two at the first of the, what you mentioned there, are going to be live. A lot of times we replay highlights of interviews from mostly motorsports from earlier in the week, but Casey Schumann and Ralph Palmer will be live guests because there's breaking news at both racetracks.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah. So, Kirk, I think we need to start talking about the World of Outlaws and High Limits. They released their schedule this week.
They did.
Yeah.
And World of Outlaws was first to drop their schedule on Wednesday. And then yesterday, what a big news day on a Friday we had yesterday. There were all kinds of breaking stories. And the High Limits series was released about noontime yesterday. So we got the two major sprint car series schedules out now.
Let me ask you, Kirk, did the High Limit series feel like they were one-upped by the World of Outlaws? And so they got their schedule out, you think? You think that there's a possibility that they were one-upped?
Yeah, but I don't think it was any big secret that the World of Outlaws, they've had their schedule done for, what, 2-3 weeks now? When we had Brian Carter on a couple of weeks ago, the schedule's already done. I think they were just finalizing some details on a couple of events, but the word was out there that the World of Outlaws were going to release their schedule first. I even thought there was a possibility they would drop that schedule before Thanksgiving, but they waited another week for that. But no, I don't think that should come as any surprise that the World of Outlaws was going to be first.
The High Limit Series is going to be running at I-70 Speedway or I-70 Motorsports Park. I'm just so used to saying
old habits die hard, don't they?
They're very hard to shake, to be honest with you. But on June 7th, they're going to race for $10,000 to win. Then on June 8th, they're going to race for $26,000 to win.
And that's the Rice Rudine Foundation race, the annual race that the All Stars had that paid over $20,000+, and that was at I-70 a couple of years ago. That event.
You know,
and so it's going to return this year as part of the High Limit Racing.
You know, one of the races that I want to see is at Eagle Raceway, where they're going to pay $50,000 to win at that race.
Yeah. And if you remember, a year ago, the midweek show at Lakeside in April paid $50,000, but now Eagle Raceway will be hosting that event. And by the way, and we'll talk about this in a little while, Lucas Oil Late Model Series dropped their schedule yesterday. And Eagle Raceway will host a Lucas Oil Late Model event in mid-July this year, too.
Right.
We'll talk more about that later, but big news at Eagle Raceway for a couple of big events.
And then on June 28th and 29th, they're going to be racing down at Wheatland at Lucas Oil Speedway. And that race is going to pay $10,000 to win on the 28th. And on the 29th, it's going to pay $25,000 to win. You know, Kirk, I don't understand why they didn't bring back the $50,000 race to Lakeside Speedway.
I don't know. Maybe it's because they scheduled that weekend event at Lakeside, the Cup weekend, May 2nd and 3rd. Could be the reason why they wanted to open up, you know, get closer to the beginning of the season, that midweek $50,000 to win show. So it could be just a matter of the two-day show for the weekend at Lakeside versus the midweek show they had at Lakeside last year.
Right.
I don't think it's any more complicated than that.
I think where the High Limit Series is going to have their biggest problem is when they go to Tulare, Hanford, California, Placerville, California, Chico. They're going to run two nights at Chico, three nights at Chico, Rossburg, Oregon, and Elma, Washington. And I just think that that's going to be a tough swing for them out there on the West Coast. Don't you think so?
Yeah, and they moved the Gold Cup date, which was in the past the second weekend in September. They moved that to the third weekend in August now, heading into the Labor Day weekend at Skagit Speedway for the High Limit Series. It's going to pay $100,000 to win at Skagit Speedway over Labor Day weekend in the High Limit Series. So that was probably the biggest news that came out, aside from the schedule of High Limit Series, that they're going to pay $100,000 to win over Labor Day weekend at Skagit Speedway.
Right, yeah.
And
is there a conflict with that, Kirk? Is there a conflict with that and the World of Outlaws running at Husetts?
Yeah, and guess what? They're also paying $100,000 to win at Husetts Speedway that Labor Day
weekend.
Is it
on the same weekend?
Same weekend. How about that? You got $200,000 to win shows going at each other. World of Outlaws at Husetts Speedway and Skagit Speedway hosting the High Limit Racing.
Hmm.
Very interesting.
That's going to be a tough decision for some race teams, isn't it?
Well, and if you're a full-timer on the High Limit Series, after the race at Skagit Speedway, you're going to have to travel 2,500 miles across the country to Port Royal Speedway for the Tuscarora 50
right.
That begins on Thursday. They're going to end up on a Saturday night of Labor Day weekend at Skagit Speedway. And anybody who's running full-time with the High Limit Series is going to have to travel all the way across the country to Port Royal Speedway in Pennsylvania by Thursday, which is the opening night of the Tuscarora weekend. How about that travel?
Right.
You think it's big travel? You've done this before, traveled to Skagit Speedway from Kansas City.
Right.
Which is a long trip. Think about from Skagit Speedway to Pennsylvania, Port Royal Speedway, in about 3 days. That's what you got between events.
That's not a stretch, really. 3 days is plenty enough to get out there, because from Kansas City to Pennsylvania, it's only about 1,000 miles.
Would you do that in about 2 days? How long did it take you to ride that?
I drove it in 1 day.
Wow.
I drove 1,000 miles in 1 day. It doesn't take us long to travel up and down the road. You know that, Kirk.
You could take turns. Yeah, I guess the NASCAR guys do it all the time.
I never let anybody drive. Yeah. Did you know that?
Well, wouldn't you have to have a couple of drivers to keep the truck rolling down the road to get in between those spots? You don't have time to stop, do you?
Well, you got to stop to go to the bathroom.
Well, I mean, to sleep.
No, you don't stop to sleep. You just drive it
keep
straight
trucking.
Through. Just drive it straight through.
And you never had any danger of falling asleep at the wheel?
Never. Mm-mm. So, just so you know, Scotty and I had two close incidents. One out in Arizona when we almost got hit head-on by a semi. Do you remember that, Kurt?
I remember you telling about that.
Yeah. And then one time when we were at Devil's Bowl, a truck come flying out of a parking lot and would have cremated my truck if I wouldn't have made a drastic reaction and got away from him. But it would have injured Scotty Cook, because it would have just plowed right into his door.
We're just seconds of you not sitting there right now.
Right, no doubt.
And me being here. How our lives would have changed had it just gone the other way.
No doubt.
That's pretty scary to think about.
Well, we've had a few close incidents out on the road. Do you remember the time when I got into a semi with a mirror? Do you remember that, Kirk, with the trailer? Do you remember that?
I remember you telling about it.
Yeah. I didn't stop for him.
You kept on going. And then that wreck at Talladega, mm-hmm. where you got creamed while towing the golf cart.
The golf cart got destroyed.
The trailer got destroyed.
The trailer got destroyed, and it did $20,000 worth of damage.
Yeah, I remember
to
that wreck.
Yeah.
So
that,
you've
was a big wreck.
You've got a lot of stories to tell out on the road for all those years.
I got a few. Yeah, I got a few stories to tell. Some I can't mention. Some of the stories I can't mention.
Well, big news, I-70 Motorsports Park, as you brought up, Scott, dropped their news yesterday before the high limit schedule came out about those events you talked about. June 7th and 8th for that big paying race. And then the midweek show, Tuesday, October 8th, going to pay $20,000 to win. So three nights of the high limit series at I-70 Motorsports Park, which means that here in the Kansas City area, there's going to be three dates at I-70 Motorsports Park, two dates at Lakeside, and two dates at Lucas Oil Speedway, and one date in the area, and that's at U.S. 36 Raceway on April 5th.
Hey, Kirk, do you think May 3rd and 4th is a little early for that race, for the high limits race? It's going to pay $50,000 at Lakeside.
Well, it's the NASCAR Cup weekend. So you got right. The weekend at Kansas Speedway just right down the road. So it makes a lot of sense that they would do that.
Larson will be most likely running that race, won't
he? But as you and I talked about a couple of weeks ago, you and I have had a lot of experience promoting events at Lakeside Speedway on NASCAR Cup weekend. And just because you got NASCAR just down the road at Lakeside Speedway doesn't guarantee a full house at Lakeside Speedway. Although the events that we were promoting, not quite as big as what this is, but still, everybody just assumes that just because you have NASCAR down the road, you got a built-in crowd. That's not necessarily the case.
Right.
I could see them where if they see that ticket sales aren't going as what they want, that Kyle Larson will probably, being that he'll already be in town, he will maybe make an appearance or bring a car out.
I think he'll race.
He'll race. But what I'm saying is if they see that tickets are maybe slacking a little bit, I think you might see a few personal appearances by a few NASCAR drivers, such as, or Brad Sweet and Casey Kane and Kyle Larson.
He'll race both nights at Lakeside, will he not?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he?
I assume he would be.
I would think he would race both nights. Hey, I got a message from Marie, one of our loyal listeners. She said she got hit by a dump truck.
Oh, my goodness, Marie. We hope you're okay.
And was on a sidewalk when he caught the back end of my van.
Wow.
Man, oh, man.
Hope you're okay, Marie.
I think that.
Man, we hope that you're all right, Marie.
She's talking about one of the wrecks since you guys were talking about close calls. Maybe it didn't just happen. Maybe it was.
Okay.
She said, I got hit by a dump truck.
Yeah.
Was on a sidewalk when he caught the backside of my van. Yeah.
That just didn't happen.
Maybe
last
it just
night.
Didn't she happen. Just... Maybe she's recalling an experience she just had. Hopefully it didn't just happen to Marie. So.
You know, it's amazing. We've all had close calls out there on the highway. I'm sure you got a story to tell too, don't you, Todd?
My famous one, which is the scariest one I had, which is real close to this time of year. Remember when I was driving home from the Tulsa shootout
with a broken arm?
That was a bad one. But the one, we had an exceptionally long night at the Tulsa shootout, heading back to our hotel. This is before we stayed in the condo, and was heading on the highway, and there was a deceased body laying in the middle of the road. Remember, I almost hit that guy that was crossing the highway.
I remember you telling
a homeless person had tried to cross the highway in the middle of the night
and got hit.
Got hit, and I missed him by 6 feet, I would say, at full speed and 50 miles an hour. And it changed. Like I said, the policemen had
that was
even
out
got,
on the freeway, wasn't it?
Sure was. It was right there. What is the little interstate that you take between the two places? So yeah, that, like you said, we've all been there where it's been a little close. And I don't like driving at night. Period. Just it's just not fun to drive at night because I tend to fall asleep at night. So, but yeah, I'm glad our driving days to the shootout and the Chili Bowl are done because
we're still going.
Well, yeah, we still go, but we're not.
Kirk
we're not,
and I are still going.
We're still not, but we're not dragging down a truckload full of stuff, and our car's not packed to the top anymore. That's for sure.
Speaking of the Chili Bowl, early entries are in. Well, they up to 140 pre-entries right now.
That'll be up to 350 before it's over.
They've already got 50 rookies, first timers,
and two former champions will be in this event, and they are. Logan Seabee, who won it last year,
right.
And Tanner Thorson.
That's it. That's who we got so far.
No Kyle Larson, no Christopher Bell, no Rico this year because Rico's going to Australia this year. So that's
this is the year to capitalize.
I look for Rico to be back at the Chili Bowl at some point, but just this year he's going to Australia.
Yeah, he's got other commitments this year, but I imagine he'll be back again to defend. But this is your year, right? If you're California, if you're Sunshine or one of these guys who are always there in the top three, this is your year, guys, to capitalize and get your Chili Bowl and bring home your Golden Driller because there's three main guys who are not even going to be in the lineup now.
Chase Briscoe's going to be in the field. He's going to run.
Yeah, I just saw he just posted his. So that's how about that? There's a lot of names still going to be at Chili Bowl. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, you got Logan Seabee, who had just an unbelievable year in 2023.
No doubt.
He won the Chili Bowl. He won the Indiana Midget Week. He swept the four Crown Nationals, and he won the NOS Energy Drink Season Championship.
Yeah.
And so he's got to be a big-time favorite. And guess what? He's going to be back in the Kevin Swindell car at the Chili Bowl. And during the USAC season, he was driving for Abacus.
Wouldn't that be nice?
He's driving for Kevin Swindell again at the Chili Bowl.
Wouldn't that be nice if he won the Chili Bowl?
Again,
because he won for him last year.
Right, yeah.
I thought that was a big story last year that he put Kevin Swindell back in victory circle.
Right, no doubt about it.
Kevin Swindell, a four-time winner as a driver and as a team owner.
Hey, you know, to be honest with you, could you imagine what Kevin Swindell's career would have been if he wouldn't have got injured in that accident up there at Knoxville?
More than four, no doubt.
He may actually have already moved on to another series, kind of like, I mean, you know, he was testing, right? And that was the whole thing.
Right.
Sammy was there off helping him test, doing some NASCAR testing.
He would have tied his dad as the all-time winner of the Chili Bowl. Sammy has 5 wins, Kevin Swindell 4, and then Christopher Bell with 3. So,
right.
I think we're going to get a new winner this year. Something tells me that like Justin Grant who won the BC39 earlier this year, is the guy I picked him to win a year ago, that it's only a matter of time that Justin Grant finds his way into victory circle, don't you think?
J.J. Yeley, he is a guy who always is strong there, but always is just some kind of luck, just kind of.
He just never has the luck to finish it off.
And so, I mean, you know, remember that one year he came from way back in the alphabet soup and moved all the way up? So, I mean, J.J. Yeley, this could be a year where this guy could be in the top three and finish on the podium this year.
Right,
you know? I mean,
he could
have a podium finish this year.
Getting back to the High Limit versus World of Outlaws, you know, we've talked in the past that Eldora would be the only track that would host both High Limit and World of Outlaws. Not true. A couple of the California racetracks are going to be hosting both High Limit and World of Outlaws, and they are Thunder Bowl Raceway and Kings Speedway. I think maybe that both tracks would have had trouble getting separate venues to host their events out in California, so that's where they've had to double up, Thunder Bowl and King Speedway, and Eldora Speedway, obviously hosting both the events in Eldora, which this year I think is going to be called the historical big one again.
Let me ask you, Kirk, do you think that they reached out to Knoxville and tried to get the Knoxville Nationals?
Did.
You think they did?
I think they did.
Yeah.
But if you look at the schedules closely, Scott, High Limit is not scheduling up against the World of Outlaws on any of their 3 weekends at Knoxville.
Right.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
No High Limit events are scheduled anywhere the 3 weekends they're going to be at Knoxville. Now, there are 3 racetracks where they're doubled up, but High Limit will be at a midweek venue. Not a weekend, and that's Riverside, the Ditch, down in West Memphis, Atomic Speedway in Ohio, and 81 Speedway. Those 3 racetracks will host High limit midweek shows and World of Outlaw events.
And they're going to kick it off just like they normally do down at Volusia.
Yeah.
Right?
And East Bay will be the venue for the opener for the High Limit Series. And this is the last year for East Bay Raceway Park. The Lucas Oil Late Model Series dropped their schedule yesterday. And the grand finale event ever at East Bay Raceway Park will be on October, and that'll be a Lucas Oil Late Model event. So no more East Bay Raceway after 2023.
Kirk, do you feel like the beginning of March is a little too early to start racing here in the Midwest?
Yeah, because...
To be honest with you, they're going to be racing at Cannondale Speedway in Cannondale, Texas, Cotton Bowl Speedway, Big O Speedway, Lawton Speedway, Thunderbird in Muskogee, Oklahoma, and 81 in Wichita, and that's all in March.
Yeah.
That's a shaky time of the year.
That is. And another bit of news that dropped a few days ago, Johnny Allen, who owns Humboldt Speedway, informed me that he got the word from Todd Staley at USMTS that the King of America race will be scheduled the first weekend in March this year with a rain date the first weekend in April. King of America.
March 4th and 5th
weekend.
That doesn't make much sense to me.
What's the chances of that being able to be run?
The guys over at Racing Dirt have to be cringing right now over the thought of those races getting rained out, snowed out, whatever.
Well, they... I'll tell you what, I feel for Trenton and Stick over there at Racing Dirt, because the three of the biggest crown jewel events were weather hampered last year, one of which happened in September. The Featherlite Fall Jamboree was called off. They ran just one night of it, and the rest of it was wiped out, and we'll reschedule the end of it for next spring. And the other one was the Grant Young Ann's Memorial Race that got wiped out this year.
Yep.
So I feel for those guys over there.
No doubt. All right. We're going to take a break. Track Talk is brought to you by Rod End Supply, featuring the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. When we come back, Casey Schumann is going to join us here on the show. He's from I-70 Speedway. He's the general manager out there, and he will join us next right here on Track Talk. And, again, it's all brought to you by Rod End Supply. Welcome back. It's Track Talk here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Covell running the show back there at Sports Radio 810. Todd Surprise running the show for us here at RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. And joining us now on the show is a good friend of the Racing Boys, Casey Schumann. Casey, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing pretty good, man. And it looks like you're on board with the High Limit Race. I'm thinking that that's a pretty big deal, pretty big catch for you guys, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's something we actually almost got done last year. We were actually on their schedule last year, and some things had to move around on their end. And it's a huge deal for us to not only land them once, but to be able to get them twice in the year and bring back the routine race, to I-70, and then have their finale of their weekday races, you know, their final one where they'll crown a champion there with us in October. So a lot of exciting stuff around that. A lot of obviously a lot of talk on the internet and around the pit areas about the whole High Limit and Outlaw thing, and we're excited to have them.
Yeah, and that's June 7th and 8th. It's going to pay $10,000 on the first night and $26,000 on the second night. How do you come to agreement on the amount of money that they pay out for those races?
That has to all be redeemed, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, that particular event is something that Rudin has done the last few years, and it's always been a 26,000 win race. So I mean, that one kind of was built in. Now, before we had that Rudin race, we did have a different date set up with them. But like most of their standard stuff they're trying to do this year is like a prelim night would be 10, and then the final night would be 20. But obviously Rudin's put a little more in to get it up to 26. So
right,
a lot of that type of stuff, when it's a big series like that, they kind of have their standard purses. And then if you want to try and add to it or bring some sponsors to it and stuff like that, then then we can definitely do that.
You know, it seems like a lot of the racetracks from our area, US 36 is going to have a World of Outlaw event, but Lakeside's going to have an event. You're going to have an event. Lucas Oil Speedway is going to have an event. Lake Ozark Speedway is going to have an event. And Eagle Raceway is going to pay $50,000 for their race up there at Eagle Raceway. A lot of racetracks in this area are picking up on the High Limit Series, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And I mean, it's interesting. I mean, you know, I can remember a few years ago where you might get a World of Outlaw race once a year around that area. So, you know, definitely having the two groups and splitting things up a little bit. I know it's going to affect, you know, some race teams making some decisions, but it also is given the opportunity for fans to see some really big racing and see a lot of really good racers. You know, maybe a little more often.
You know, I've been saying this for some time. 410 Racing is making a comeback because, you know, there was a point there where 360 Racing was kind of dominant there for a little bit. You know, when they had all the stars over there with 360 Racing with the ASCS National Tour. But it seems like to me that that there's so many teams. How many teams do you think they're going to have out there on the tour, you think, this year?
I honestly feel like both sides are going to end up 12. I mean, I bet they start out with 14 or 15 and probably end with, you know, 12 to 14 teams. I mean, there's a lot of really, really strong 410 sprint car teams in this country. And, you know, a lot of times if, you know, you just have one big group and there's only those 14 spots available, you know, for the tow money and the incentives and stuff like that. But it doesn't mean there's only 14 good teams in the country. You know, there's a lot of them. You know, there's a lot of teams that have really good equipment and really good racers. They just, you know, maybe it hasn't made sense financially for them to branch out yet. But I mean, you know, talking with Brad and Kyle and, them kind of running across the list of names that they either have committed or believe they are pretty close to getting to commit. I think they're going to have a strong roster. You know, I mean, and the Outlaws will have some good ones too, but, I think that there's a lot of opportunity for some teams to really to step out and go travel a little bit and make some money this year, which is a good thing.
Right. I've got to ask you this question. Did the World of Outlaws reach out to you guys?
Well, I mean, obviously I worked with them for 4 years and
right.
As soon as I took the job at I-70, I was reaching out, you know, a lot, probably bugging them, you know, trying to get the
right.
Outlaws, to come back and really with very little success, very, very little conversation. The conversations didn't really get heated up and going until the High Limit things, you know, until we had High Limit. You know, once we got a couple dates with the High Limit deal, then all of a sudden there was some more conversations going on.
I think everybody assumed because you worked for the Outlaws for 4 years that the Outlaws were going to come back to I-70. I think that there was a lot of people that thought that, right?
Yeah, for sure. I would assume there was. I really hoped and tried to make that happen. And there was a small possibility here in the last few weeks that we could have got a date, you know, for next year. But it just, you know, some of the stuff that they needed us to do and the timing of it and the schedule and, you know, it would have been something really late in October and the weather wasn't going to be very good. And they just had a few stipulations that made it to where I didn't know that it was the right thing to do. So
right,
you know, we'll see. I mean, I tried to leave the door open to if they needed something or if they, you know, if something popped up that they needed a place to go, I would gladly entertain that idea.
Casey, the first ever event at I-70 Motorsports Park, the refurbished Motorsports Park. Was the World of Outlaws, and it seemed to be a successful event. And this all before you showed up. What happened? How come they didn't come right back?
Well, I mean, without getting into it too deep, you know, there was just some. I think there was some disagreements on some the way things were handled throughout that night, and you know, when they got done with everything, I think that you know both sides. probably didn't see exactly eye to eye on some things.
Right.
And like you said, it was before me, so obviously I wasn't there, but, you know, I was working for the Outlaws at the time and was on some phone calls that this stuff did get brought up. And they just had some issues that seemed like it was very hard for them to get over. So,
right.
It's unfortunate. Like I said, seeing the videos and the pictures from the place that weekend, I mean, it was obviously a packed house and, obviously a successful event. But they just had some issues and I've tried to kind of mend that fence a little bit and get everyone past that point. And I think we were really close this year. Like I said, there was an outside chance of getting them back for this year, but, when it comes down to business, business is business. And,
right.
We had to make a decision that I felt was right for the business this year. And like I said, there's no hard feelings on my end. I mean, if they called me tomorrow or if I see them at PRI next week and they need something or need a date or, need to fill in somewhere, I'm definitely open to it.
Nobody understands more than yourself of what that's like to be a racer and also turn into a promoter, and you understand where Kyle Larson and Brad Sweet are coming from, to be on one side and now you're on the other. Is it as simple as, boy, you throw a lot of money out there, drivers and teams ought to show up, and it looks like that's what Kyle and Brad are doing here?
Well, I mean, that sounds simple, but, like some of the stuff we've done in the past with war and everything, sometimes more money doesn't necessarily mean more cars or more fans. There's a lot of other things that you gotta put in place and a lot of other things that you gotta do at an event to make it work. And, obviously Brad and Kyle both have been in the sport for a long time. And everyone involved with High Limit, Mike Hess and Kevin Nouse is there now, Kendra Jacobs, Brian Walker, like the whole group, they're part of sprint car racing. They've grown up doing it. They've raced, they've been involved. I'm excited to work with that group. They've got a ton of passion for trying to make things different, make things bigger, make things better. Obviously money is one of them. I mean, everything's more expensive. It's not like any of this stuff, motors and tires and stuff isn't getting cheaper. So, they understand that they need to figure out a way to pay more. And I think they've figured that out. I think they've figured out some ways to move some things around. Probably take a little less from their side as far as sanction fees and stuff and be able to spread that out among the teams. So, I'm excited just because it's a fresh deal with a bunch of people that are really passionate to make it work. So I think it'll be really good.
What are some of the things that you believe Kyle and Brad will deliver to both fans and teams that the World of Outlaws wasn't doing?
I don't want to make it sound like the Outlaws are failing. I mean, they are obviously been the leader in this area for a very long time, and that there's a reason for that. But like I said, it's just some fresh new ideas and some passionate people. Is when it comes to the fan experience and every conversation myself and Brad have had so far about this whole deal is really to try and make it an event. We don't want it to be another night at the races. So just their focus and some of their new ideas as far as trying to make each one an event. Obviously Kyle, just being Kyle and being there, brings a lot of people and a lot of attention to these things, but a lot of their resources too and a lot of Kyle's contacts and stuff through the NASCAR deal, and I just think they have a ton of resources to do a lot of really cool things, and they want to. It's not just a job for them, it's not just a job for anyone that they have hired. They all are really passionate and want to do a lot of cool things to make it special, so that's cool.
I think a lot of people are going to be camping out there at I-70 Speedway because there's a lot of races that's going on right around this area. You've got I-70, you've got Eagle, you've got Lake Ozark Speedway, you've got Lucas Oil Speedway in Wheatland, Missouri. I think there's going to be a lot of campers traveling around with those series, don't you think?
I do, yeah. I mean, that's one thing that I know they want to really do is a lot of, like, two-day type events and you know, bring that aspect into it. And that's something we want to try and do. You know, over the winter here, we're going to add some camping spots with some hookups and everything. And, but yeah, I mean, there's a stretch there through June that, you know, you could stay within a couple hours of Kansas City and see a lot of really, really good racing. So, I think it's all positive. I think it's all positive for the area, you know, and, you know, for our Kansas City area, and it's all positive for Wing Sprint Car Racing.
Hey, let me ask you a question outside of the dirt track. How's the drag strip coming? Is it moving along pretty good? It looks like they've got it paved. Do they have it paved out there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, ever since Scott Higgs kind of took over the deal, and really from day one, if it's not raining or snowing, they've been out there working, and you know, they've got the track pretty much. I think the track itself is done. They've got a lot of the bleachers up. They've got the scoreboards up at the end. They got the lights up. They've paved a lot of the parking areas. You know, they've been working their butt off and really have got a lot of progress done. And, obviously there's some more work to do, but they've got a lot of it done and it's looking really cool.
So, don't you think that the drag strip will add to your benefit? To see a few more people out there, maybe get some of the drag racing people to be involved with the dirt track. Do you feel like that's going to happen?
Oh, it definitely can't hurt. You know, I mean, some of the stuff we did this year was just to try and get some people out to the facility that maybe have never been there. You know, with that end of year Harvest Fest thing, and you know, just trying to get some eyes on the place. So I think it'll definitely bring some more eyes to the place, bring a lot more people out. You know, I met with him a couple weeks ago and trying to figure out some ways we can do some things together. Obviously it's going to be difficult to really try and do some events on the same days or, you know, in conjunction just because of the way the parking situation is. And I mean, their starting line is so close to our turn three and four to where I think, you know, maybe some dust or dirt might be an issue on the racetrack, but, I definitely think it'll bring some new eyes, and we're going to try and work together on some events and even some co-promotion type stuff to where, you know, when they have people out there, we're kind of trying to pump up and promote the dirt track and vice versa.
When do we see a final schedule posted of your events?
I would say it'll probably be next week. Really, I would say I'm 95% done. Just waiting on a couple calls to maybe add a couple events or hoping to add a couple events. But we're about there, and probably next week around PRI, we'll go ahead and put it out when everyone else does.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Casey, we can't thank you enough for taking the time to join us on the show today, man. We can't thank you enough. And just so you know, Kirk and I, we're going to buy one of those RV spots out there, just so you
Perfect.
Know. Yeah.
Perfect.
So.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Okay, bud. Thank you so much for being on the show. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, no problem.
Thanks, Casey.
Thank you, guys.
There you have it, Casey Schumann. We're going to be back with more of Track Talk right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's all brought to you by Rod End Supply, featuring the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. Ralph Palmer is going to join us next, right?
No, he's not going to join us till the second hour.
Oh, at 9:30.
Yeah,
he's going to join us at 9:30.
We wanted to have Ralph on from Lakeside Speedway, but he was tied up this hour, so he's going to be an hour or two exclusively on Racing Boys.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we'll be back with more right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You want to lead in?
Welcome back. It's Track Talk here on Sports Radio 810 WHB and RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. Covell running the show back there at Sports Radio 810. Todd Surprise taking care of us here at RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. Kirk, we had a chance to talk to Ayrton Jennington.
We did on Monday of Mostly Motorsports. Ayrton is the recently crowned Power Eye 410 Sprint Car Champion, and very interesting interview with Ayrton. He's a owner-driver. He's kind of like Brian Brown, runs his own business and has done a pretty good job.
The 19 car.
Yeah. Right. And very good guy, and comes from a legacy family of racers. His grandfather, Gene, was a legendary driver, and Ayrton carrying on that legacy. And here is a little bit of the conversation we had with Ayrton Jeniton from last Monday's Mostly Motorsport show. We will get that segment here in just a little bit.
Yeah, we're having a...
Having just a little bit of a snap.
Having a little problem with our computer this morning. I don't know what's going on.
We'll get it figured out. Snowball Derby weekend, Scott. You love the Snowball Derby.
I've been down there for the Derby.
You have been to that event.
Uh-huh.
That it doesn't get any bigger than that for pavement late models, does it?
It's the biggest, maybe the biggest pavement late model race in the country.
All right, I got it.
It does.
All right.
We think we've got it now. We'll talk more about the Snowball Derby. Derek Thorne, the defending winner of the race, is on the pole for the Snowball Derby. They're supposed to have the Snowflake 100. The weather doesn't look very good at Pensacola, Florida
right now.
So, but tomorrow looks a lot better. Well, anyway, we'll talk more about that in a little bit. Ayrton Jeniton is the Power Eye 410 Sprint Car Champion. Here's a bit of the conversation we had with him from earlier the week on Mostly Motorsports.
So what does it take to go through the off season to get ready, prepared for next year? I know that you're running your own team, so tell us what all entails in that.
You know, really, like, once we get done with the year, the first thing we try to do is go through an inventory, everything we have left, and, you know, see where we may be down on equipment. You know, if we tore a lot up, you know, for example, usually our first thing we try to get going through is our rear ends and our wheels. Those are usually the two items that you, you know, you kind of cycle out the most. So right now we're just going through wheels and rear ends and making sure, you know, we can get what we need to get and get it here, you know, when we can get it. So,
right.
You know, we do that. We, you know, basically the biggest deal is just inventorying and getting everything lined up so you can get your orders placed and, you know, get stuff coming so you can start putting cars together. And then, you know, obviously, the other thing you try to do in the off season is you try to look for sponsors and, you know, try and get some more funding for the next year.
Hey, Ayrton, congratulations on winning that Power Eye championship. Just how big was that to pull off a championship?
Yeah, you know, it's really cool. Like, it was my first 410 championship. You know, we won the ASCS Warrior Region Championship back in 2020. And
how much time,
you know, Corvette? Power Eye deal. We didn't initially plan on running the full thing. And, you know, we planned on running most of the races, but not the full points. And then, you know, we kind of weren't doing very good at Knoxville, and the Power Eye schedule kind of fell to where some of their races we weren't going to hit. We were going to be at Knoxville. They got rained out and played into the, you know, our favor where we could go run the points. And we're like, well, you know, we'll go to the lake. I think it was back in June. I was like, well, let's go to the lake instead of go to Knoxville and just see what happens. And we ended up winning that night. And I was like, you know what? Like, this makes more sense. Like, you know, at that point, Roger was still racing. You know, he was leading at that time. And I was like, you know what, I think we can, you know, if we can put good runs together, we can catch Roger. And, you know, if we can catch Roger, then, you know, that's the guy we're going to be racing. And, you know, so that's kind of what I was, you know, in the end, it ended up working out for us, you know, where, you know, it sucks Roger got hurt, but he ended up getting hurt. And then me and Joe B both missed a race, and we just kind of, you know, had a better second half of the year than Joe did. You know, we had a few other guys that were running it full-time that had, you know, engine issues, so we may not have had a full, you know, big roster like we were, like Power I was originally going to have just because of, you know, equipment stuff and people getting hurt and whatever. But, you know, it's anytime you can win a championship, it's pretty cool. You know, you can add it to your resume. Sponsors like that stuff. It's really good to add to your career. You know, and then at the end of the season, the best part is when you come down to the end of the year, it's middle of the season or middle of the, you know, middle of the off season. You know, to get a little bit extra money from a point fund, you know, it'll go a long way. So,
yeah,
you know, the other thing too is, well, I remember when I first started running 360s, you know, there was no 410 race and really in the Midwest,
right?
You know, the Outlaws would come through every now and then, and you had Knoxville, and that was about it. And then Houston's reopened, and we got Houston's back, and then Knoxville's pumped up their purse, Houston's pumped up their purse, Kenny Brown. with Power Ice pumped up a really great purse for, you know, Missouri 410s, and then, you know, with a high limit and the Outlaws coming through the Midwest, it's going to be, you know, really, really good time to be a Missouri 410 racer, which, you know, when I started running 410s, even in 2020, I never would have seen this quick, you know. So,
right.
Huge shout out to Power Eye and Kenny Brown for helping Missouri, you know, become, I feel like right now the Midwest is the best place to be if you're going to be a true outlaw racer. You know, I think our purses are the best. I think our competition is just going to keep growing.
Would you consider running the All-Star if they kept it a regional act? Would you have went over in that direction maybe a little bit?
Yeah, I think if the All-Stars would have blended a little more in the Midwest, into Missouri and Iowa and kind of around this area more, it would have been a very, you know, more feasible deal. Like, I think I would tended to go that direction here shortly. You know, but right now, if you want to go on a national scene, like even the All-Stars, they were national in a way, you know, they raced a lot of places, a lot of states, whatever, but, you know, they weren't a true national series, like, you know, going all over the West Coast, East Coast thing. So, you know, I think that was a great stepping stone for teams that wanted to get on the road, that didn't want to bite off the Outlaws right away. You know, but, you know, who knows, like that could come back in a few years. You never know. So, it'll be interesting, you know, like right now, like I think, you know, kind of like what I said, like right now it's best to be a true independent outlaw for a team like mine. You know, we can run the Power Eye stuff, we can run High Limit, we can run Outlaws, and then, you know, when we're not doing those, they're really, you know, with the way the scheduling is going to look, I think we're not going to have a lot of free weekends to go play around. You know, we'll be so busy doing all those three series there alone. You know, we'll still hit Knoxville and Cusits and, you know, try and run some of the Maverick series in Indiana, because I think some of them places will be really cool to race. But, yeah, it would definitely be tough to be a, you know, want to go on the road right now, because I think if those series end up going to California, like, that's a big trek. You know, a guy like Brent Marks or, you know, any other PA team that may be looking at, like, the Macri's, like, they're looking at doing something like that. Like, how do you justify going to California, you know, when you can stay home and race for, you know, 8,000 or 10,000 to win shows, whatever right. They're going to have this week.
You know, Scott, from the looks of that schedule, Ayrton Jennethan really doesn't have to travel very far at all. These, you know, he's going to be at every one of these high limit races in the area, Lakeside, I-70, Lake Ozark. Lucas Oil is going to run that full Power Eye, and the Power Eye is going to work around these dates of the high limit series. So there's a lot of money on the line for Ayrton not to have to travel very far from home at all.
Yep, no doubt. I think there's going to be a lot of people migrate to the Power Eye 410 Sprint Car Series. What do you think, Kirk?
I think so. Blake Hahn, one of them?
I believe that I don't want to hold him to it, but Blake Hahn has talked about running with the Power Eye Series.
He ran with those events late in the year, the last weekend of the Power Eye season. So, you know, it makes a lot of sense for guys like Ayrton, Blake, even Brian Brown.
Run a full outlaw schedule. Right.
Yeah. Well, the just open schedule.
Just,
you know,
wherever the money's at.
Rico's done that. Brian Brown's done that for years.
Right.
So there's going to be a lot of guys that will not pick any side to race at. That's the way I see it. But, you know, they got $200,000 to win races out on the West Coast for the high limits.
Right.
I guess that makes that maybe worthwhile if you got $100,000 to win Gold Cup at Chico and the $100,000 win at Skagit. That makes that a little bit more
noteworthy. So our number two, we're going to have Ralph Palmer on, Chet Krishner, and Bob Baker. So it's going to be a loaded second hour right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. You can watch it on our Facebook page and our website as well, and YouTube as well. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show. We appreciate it. Can't thank you enough for doing so. For the last 23 years, Kirk and I have been partners, and we can't thank you enough for doing so. Thanks to Covell and Todd Surprise for doing all the hard work for us. And we'll see you next week, right? We'll see you next week right here on Track Talk. It's all been brought to you by Rod and Supply.